Now I want to introduce my message this morning with a quote from some lines written by Lefebvre in 1512, 471 years ago. But these are great lines in my mind. He says, "O unutterable exchange! The sinless one is condemned, the guilty go free. The blessed bears the curse, the cursed bears the blessing. The life dies, the dead live. The glory is covered with shame, and the shame is covered with glory." I think that's great. Those are great lines. These lines refer to Jesus and us. Jesus, the sinless one, the blessed one, the life, the glory. Us, the guilty ones, the cursed ones, the dead ones, death, stinking death, and the shameful ones. But in the carrying out of the plan of salvation, the order becomes reversed. And Jesus steps down into our place and becomes sin. The cursed one, the dead, the shame, the guilty one. That we might step up into his sinlessness, blessedness, life, and glory. Now, I call that an unutterable exchange. But why was all of this? It was because that God so loved sinners that he wanted to make saints out of them. And he so loved people that were doomed to hell that he wanted to rescue them from that and get them into heaven. So he made a move like this. I was thinking this morning of a man that I knew him real well. I've been in his home numbers of times. He's been in our home numbers of times. We work together in the gospel. In his younger days, before he got in the ministry, he worked in the mines. Well, he was down in a mine shaft one day, and there was a cave in. And right down the shaft were just coming rocks and boulders and everything. Well, it was a little doubtful whether anybody'd get out or not. But this man was a Christian man. He was saved. He said, "All right, men, get ready now to go on out." Says, "I'll be the last man out." Said, "I'm saved and ready to go. If it comes to that, you men or not. So I'm going to get every one of you out that I can, and I'll be the last man out." So he rang the bell, and down come the tub, and he said, "Now everybody get in it that can." They loaded it, and he rang the bell, and they took it out. It come back down, and he got it loaded with another group of men and pulled the lever and rang the bell, and they hoisted those men out. That went on and they got them all out. And he was the only man left. They sent the tub back down and he got in it and pulled the cord and He pulled it a little vehemently. And he said, they just whizzed him out of there, and the rocks and the boulders just falling all around him, and everything caving in on the sides. He just got bruised up a little bit, but not hurt much. But he got out. He was the last man out, just like he said he would be. He stayed till he got everybody else out. This same man, another time, he wasn't working this day. And he was standing before the mirror shaving. And he heard the trouble whistle blow. And the ambulances going by, going out to the mines. Well, he knew there was trouble out there. So he just throwed his shirt on as he went and ran for the mines. He got out there, and the pile of slack that they pile up, it gets to be a pretty good mountain sometimes. That thing had avalanched and come down, and it had covered the man up. Well, he asked where the man was, and they pointed out the spot. He went right up there. All this stuff are coming down, and every little bit of big batch of it slough off and come down there. But he went right up there, and he began digging in, and he uncovered the man. Got him all uncovered so he could breathe, but a boulder had fallen on the man's foot and pinned his foot in there. And he couldn't get his foot loose. And this stuff would fall in on him, and he'd have to dig it out. And he kept working back up in there trying to get that man's foot out. Finally, the man says, "Just pull my foot off." Said, "Let's get out of here." "No," he said, "we're not going to do that." Said, "We're going to get out foot and all if we can." So he just kept working and kept working till he got that man's foot loose and carried him down out of there. Said that man never did get over that. Said that man just couldn't find enough that he could do for him to pay him for saving his life. Well, that kind of adds a little to what I've already said about my subject for this morning, Christ our substitute. And that is the Spirit of Christ. That man had it. And he was after a man that needed salvation, and he was up there perishing. Yes. And he didn't want the man to perish because he needed salvation. He had salvation. He was willing to go right up in there and hazard his own life to get help to that man, and he got him out of there. Jesus did that for you and me. Now, all men were sinners. The Bible says that. If there's anybody here that doesn't have Christ in your heart this morning, you're a sinner yet today. The Bible says in the 3rd chapter of Romans in verse 23 that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Now that includes you and me and everybody else. In Adam's fallen race, all have sinned. There isn't a person in here, I don't care how saved you are today, or how holy you're living today, there isn't a person in here that hasn't been a sinner.
That's right.
And that never did any sin. Jesus was the only man that walked this earth that never did do a sin.
Amen.
Now, he never did. But all the rest of us have. Whether we've been bad sinners or good ones, that's not the point. We're sinners. The most moral man that ever lived, he was a sinner and he got Christ in his heart. And he needed to repent of having lived his life without Christ, leaving Christ out of it. Romans 5:12 says, "For as by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Glenn, folks, glad to have you this morning. Death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, let's don't say we didn't. I knew one woman that come to the altar. She didn't know what she come for. They told her that she should pray and ask God to forgive her for her sins. She says, "I don't know of anything I've ever done that I need forgiveness for." But she hadn't had Christ in her heart. That's the greatest sin there is just bypassing Christ.
Yes, amen.
Leaving Him out of our lives. All the other sin that people do in this world is a result of that. But that's the taproot of the whole thing, is just living their lives without Christ and leaving Him out. And people need to repent of that. If they've been good, moral, upright people and good citizens and good neighbors and good friends and never stepped out on their wives and been honest, upright, they still need to repent of having left Christ out of their lives and not surrendering their hearts and lives to Him. In the third chapter of Galatians in verse 22, he says, "God hath concluded all under sin." And that's where the whole human race stood when Jesus came into this world. Now, the justice and holiness of God demanded a penalty for sin, and that penalty must be paid before sin could be canceled. There's no cancellation of sin with God till the penalty's paid. Now, we're living in a world today where our judicial and court system is very much deteriorated. And people aren't required to pay for the sins that they do, the crimes they commit. Take a man that's convicted and sent to prison for murder or for rape or whatever gross sins that people do. It's not very long till they're out on the street again.
Yeah.
Somebody said, and when they said this, that country down around Los Angeles was just really all up in arms. Evelyn and I were driving toward Los Angeles, and we turned the radio on, and we got a talk show in Los Angeles. And a woman had been abducted from her home, raped and killed, and they didn't have any suspects. And that evening, they had just discovered her body out in the field. Well, they were really up in arms over a thing like that. So that was the subject on the talk show. What would you do now, or what would you like to see done to these men that did this thing? Oh, they couldn't be vicious enough. Somebody said, I'd like to see them electrocuted, and I'd like to spin the dial. The other one said, I'd like to see them hanged, and I'd like to spring the trap. And they were having a number of things to say, and finally one man came on, and I thought he was a little more level-headed than the rest. He said, I think that things like this would awaken in us a desire to clean up our system. Says, I think that the court system needs to be cleaned up, and says, I'd start with the judges. Start cleaning the house with them. Well, anyway, I brought that in to show that's the kind of world we're living in. And our judicial and court system is pretty much deteriorated, and justice miscarries many a time. Well, what's the result of that now? We don't respect the courts much, do we? We don't respect the judges much, do we? It's just a general lack of respect for the whole system that performs like that. Now, that's what it would happen in our relationship with God if God would by any means compromise his stand on sin, or if he would by any means compromise the penalty for sin and allow anything to get by. The first thing you know, we'd be disrespecting God just like we disrespect this system out here.
Amen.
He wouldn't be God to us anymore. If he didn't condemn sin to the extent that a severe penalty went along with sin, you know, we usually rate the enormity of a crime by the sentence and the penalty that the law provides for that crime. If the law sets a penalty for 30 days in jail and a $100 fine for petty theft or something, we don't consider that a very big crime. Well, if it sets a penalty for a year in prison and a $10,000 fine, well, that's a little bigger crime in our estimation. And I heard talking about some deal the other day that the penalty for that was 5 years in the penitentiary and a $100,000 fine. That's getting up pretty big crime. And when it comes to life imprisonment, that's really a major crime. But when it comes to a death sentence, that's the top.
Yes.
That's a real crime. We rate the enormity of the crimes by the penalty that the law assesses against that crime. God shows us his attitude towards sin by the penalty that he put on sin. And it doesn't make any difference with God whether it's a big, big sin or a little sin, or whether it's a white lie or a black one. It doesn't make a bit of difference with God. The same sentence goes with all of it.
Amen.
Eating a bit of fruit of a tree that Adam and Eve had to take care of, just like they took care of all the rest of it, we wouldn't count that a very big crime, would we, if they'd pick a little fruit off of that tree and eat it. But God did. He said, if you eat this fruit, you'll die.
Amen.
The penalty was death for eating that fruit. And Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, and they died, and all the rest of us died in them. Now that's what the scripture says, as by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The marginal reading at that point is, in whom all of us sinned. Now he's the royal, Adam was the royal head of the human family. And when he committed sin, God concluded all his posterity, right?
Yes.
Under the same blanket of condemnation. And death was the penalty. And he said in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, I don't remember the verse there, it's one of those first verses, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23 said, the wages of sin is death. And that's what God thinks of sin. And whatever kind of sin it is, any unrepented of sin is going to produce death. The wages of sin is death. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Now, everywhere you find sin mentioned in the Bible, death's close on its heels.
Yes.
Sin and death run together. They are inseparable. And the penalty for sin, any kind of sin, all sin, every sin that isn't repented of and forgiven, the penalty of it is death. Eternal death, if we persist in it till we die. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Well, the clock's going around there and the time's run out, and I just kind of got my subject introduced. But we will leave it with you and trust God to bless every soul in here.